G'day, welcome along to the podcast for the Rush Hour here in WA with the fantastic Andrew Embley, the amazing Katie Lamb.
Thank you.
The ever irrepressible producer Joel is here as well.
Hi, hi.
And today we were joined by a fifth member of our crew, Ryan Crowley, for a good full hour because what a story he was able to help us fill in.
He was very good today, wasn't he?
Can I just say, as a non-West Coast, non-Fremantle supporting Adelaide Crows dickhead, I would say that he would have to be, from that era that he played in, one of the most hated players of the modern era of football.
He definitely was. I think him.
It was a pest, wasn't it?
And talking about other pests, Hayden Ballantyne was another pest. I like Bellas, but in regards to people that you just wanted to punch, those two were at the top of the tree.
And even as a supporter watching from the sidelines, you hated Crowley. But then when he came in up the elevator and came in and told us a few stories in like 30 seconds, like, this guy is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
And it just shows, though, like there's so many players that you watch from afar and you straight away make up an opinion off them on the basis of how they play, whether they duck, whether they punch people, whether you just don't like them.
Yeah, players.
Yeah, and you draw a line through them straight away. Fully. And Ryan Crowley was one of those players that everyone just hated because of how he played.
To be fair, I didn't know him. I didn't even really. I remember people just calling him a pest and I knew he was like aggressive on the field and all this sort of stuff. So immediately I just thought, oh, this guy's a dick. But when he came in straight away, I was just like, oh, you're probably going to be a dick. But then when he started talking, I was just like, oh my God, just so nice.
Yeah. And some of the stories
really like you
shared about the London brawl, the derby in 05 that you guys, this exhibition match. I mean, if this doesn't inspire a bunch of, not that we condone it, obviously, we don't condone violence, but if this doesn't inspire an Eagles or Dockers player just to punch someone on Saturday during the derby, we don't condone violence.
No. But if it happens, yes, there will be cameras there. But if it happens.
if it happens.
I mean, because the rivalry softened.
It has softened. It's time to toughen it up.
Yeah.
I liked it back in the badass days. I reckon that was more fun.
Yeah.
You know, footy wasn't so precious.
We don't condone violence. What?
We don't condone violence.
But
I love to see someone get punched in the face.
So when I was just trying to think about this, because this is like the Western Derby's version of the Ramsgate Hotel incident that happened with the showdown, isn't it, really? If you don't know, Port Adelaide and Adelaide had a fair old fisticuffs back in, I think, 2002 at the Ramsgate Hotel.
Mark Ricciuto just punching on with pretty much everyone. Josh Carr.
Josh Carr happily get into a brawl with anyone, I feel.
But this is just, and if you've never heard this, even the most diehard Eagles Dockers supporter probably haven't heard this story. And when Embers started spewing it out in the airlock outside of our studio as well, we have to talk about this on air.
Yeah. We have to get Ryan on to give his events, his versions of the story. And I'll tell you, it was actually pretty similar.
It was great.
We actually had a few pieces.
Yep. So a bit of extended Embers Remembers coming up in this podcast, including what do you refuse to throw out? That's also part of this. Here is your podcast for today.
Pointy pineapples.
From Roebuck Bay to the Roe Highway, got my ice mocha from Dome Cafe, the Super Pizza Floriette in Innaloo, Wanneroo, and Esperance too, across Albany and the Gloucester Tree
with Katie Lamb
and Andrew Embley.
From the greatest city in the world, it's time for Triple M's Rush Hour with Andrew Embley and Katie Lamb. Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download Tab Touch. Chances are you're about to lose.
Right now, 133353. What do you refuse to throw out?
Interesting article about Collingwood legend Nathan Buckley that I read today. So it's been revealed that he has been forced to auction off some of his football memorabilia after his divorce. So, of course, he divorced, I think, in 2020. But it's a very interesting because Nathan Buckley is contracted to Fox Footy. He's got an SEN job. I think he's going okay. But some of the things that are up for auction, just wait. Socks, football socks.
Okay.
Not sure from what year, but he's kept his footy socks.
Okay.
Football shorts. Okay, there is the 2002 grand final jumper that he wore.
Okay,
didn't win, so that's up for auction.
Keeping that, that's fine.
Yes, there's also, he played a game of indoor soccer with a few friends. And they have kept his indoor soccer goonsy that he wore.
No.
And currently there is a bid for $40 for that one too.
I mean, honestly.
He's kept the indoor soccer
goonsy. Why do people not throw these things out? Like, I have played in many a social netball teams. Do you think I keep my little Simply Red top that, Joel, you're a part of that? Do you still have the Simply Red netball top?
No, I burnt all that stuff from that radio station I used to work at.
Surely Nathan Buckley's not a hoarder.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
He hasn't collected all this stuff, has he?
133353, what do you refuse to throw out? There are a lot of people who are hoarders and people who just refuse to throw certain things out. I wouldn't say I'm a hoarder by any means, but I have said this on air before, so I'll say it again. I refuse to throw out my Barbie dolls. They take me back to my childhood. One day, hopefully when I have a girl, I want her to be able to play with my Barbie dolls, even though there are better ones out.
That's a good reason.
But though, you know what I mean? But I've got like a lot and they're just, and it's kind of like, oh, birthday cards is another thing. My partner refuses to throw away like birthday cards.
Yeah,
it's like, when are you just going to like go back and read a birthday from an auntie your birthday in 2018? Like,
are really easy to throw out.
Love my aunties, but
you open it up, all right? And if there's no money in the birthday card, you throw that out straight away. Okay, straight away. That doesn't. What's the point? What's the point?
And as you've got 75 children, and I'm sure, like at least you know, a few of them would like to draw pictures and things on papers. People who just, and I'm not naming names, but I live with one of them. People who just keep every single drawing, and it's like, oh, well, that's not going up on the fridge.
Time where you go, okay, it's got to get thrown out. Listen, yeah, I love my kid, right? Whether she's three, whether he's four, five, or six, but they're not going to be an artist, all right?
they might be. The drawings. Keep the
ones
that
were
something.
They are great. I get you've done your best, but they suck. Dave's from Mindari. G'day, Dave.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate.
Hey, Dave, what do you refuse to throw out?
Oh, it's not me, it's the missus.
Oh, yep.
She works in an environment where she uses a lot of those chunks cleaners. You know, you pull them off the roll and then you use them and throw them in.
Yes.
Anyway, she just can't throw them away. And she might use 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, I don't know, a day.
God.
But she'll bag them up, she'll bring them home, then she'll wash them, hang them out the line. And then sit up late at night folding them all perfectly and bagging them.
That's
wild. So every drawer I open, every cupboard I open, there's countless, we've just got countless Chuck's wipes. And I still get in trouble if I use one and I throw it away.
I mean, that sounds like she's got like an issue. She needs to have those chucks cleaners.
It sounds like you'd be thrown away before the wipes, Dave.
Yes.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Well, if you ever split up, Dave, and hopefully it doesn't happen, but just know that she'll be happy just to take all of the chucks wipes and you can have everything else.
Well, I'm actually thinking of starting a market without a knowing.
Yeah.
Selling the Chuck's wipes.
Smart.
What happens if the missus goes, no, no, you get to keep them, though, and that's like the long-term plan? Like, that would be horrendous.
Good on you, Dave. Let's go to Michelle in Pearsall. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
We're going very well. Michelle, tell us, what do you refuse to throw out?
Well, it used to be the kids' artwork.
Yeah.
But I did recycle it.
Oh, good.
I used it for wrapping paper.
Oh,
that's actually quite nice.
That's actually smart, Michelle. Well done.
Did you wrap the kids' presents in their own wrapping paper?
Oh, no. No, it was always like the aunties and the grandparents and things like that where they could put it on their fridge for a couple of days before they disposed of it.
Not the worst idea.
And then you feel less guilty because you didn't actually throw it away. Yep. Love that for you, Michelle. Well done. Smart. Let's go to Susan and Lita. Hello.
Hey, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Susan. What do you refuse to throw out?
It wasn't me. It was my mum. She's now passed. But when I went through her house to pack everything up, I found letters of complaint that she sent to companies like 15, 20 years ago. And they had actually sent her a letter back and like included like bank checks for like $5. But she hadn't thrown any of it away, so I literally had to.
Oh, my God.
Can I ask what sort of complaints that she was making? Or was any really funny ones that just made you laugh?
One was a tin of baked beans. It wasn't full to the brim.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, so she made a complaint about that. So,
God, I'm obsessed with that. That is so funny,
that is
Susan.
So funny. She would open it up and go, there's four beans missing. I can't believe it.
You know, it would be a great idea. Turn it into like a book and like sell it out, and then you can make money off your mother. And like that, I reckon people would go for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid complaints.
I reckon I found about 10 of those letters going through her house, and they weren't in the same spots. They were all throughout all the paperwork and stuff.
Hilarious. I mean, that's a whole new talk topic, by the way, is just stupid complaints.
Oh, yeah.
Kylie's in Maylands. Hello.
Hello.
G'day, so Kylie.
How are we all?
Good. We're great. Good on you, Kylie.
Sorry. Katie Lamb's just had a brain aneurysm and doesn't know how to speak. So
what do you refuse to throw out, Carl's?
I've got a single icicle that I refuse to eat or throw out. I've had it for coming up for a year.
What? Hang on.
What?
A single icicle.
Just an icy pole. What brand are we talking?
You know the Lifesaver one?
Yes, I do. Okay. What flavor are we talking?
It's just the one on the pole. So it's got like, the more you have it, the more like the colors come through.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah. So I was given it. We put our cat down on the 12th of May.
Yeah.
And my ex-husband, who I was still best friends with, hands it to me and he's like, have that when you get home. I know you're craving them. I was pregnant at the time with someone else's baby. Like,
yeah.
Long story. And he says, have it when you know you're feeling like crap. And
you've never felt like crap since.
I've had the baby and it's all good. But he said, yeah, we tried calling him the next day, no answer. We found him, he had passed away 5 days later.
Oh, wow.
And so I've kept this stupid icy pole for nearly a year because I just don't want to get rid of it for last minute.
Well, it's sort of, I guess it reminds you of your cat.
Well, it reminds me of my cat and also him because it was like the most ironic thing. Like it was the weirdest thing to hand someone when you go put your cat down, here's an icy pole.
But
I just kept it. So every time I open my freezer, I just see this icy pole. I've gone through 3 house moves in that time.
This icy pole has survived a house move?
Three.
Also, why are you changing houses so much? Baby.
That's a whole new other story.
But we just need to get a whole segment on Kylie's life.
It doesn't matter about the change in the houses. It is so important that, you know what, next time you leave the baby there, it doesn't matter. You bring that icy pole wherever you go
next. I've had house sitters, and I've told them, if you go near that icy pole, there will be hell to pay.
Usually you have babysitters. You're like, help yourself to anything in the fridge. Yeah. Kylie's just like, you eat that icy pole, I kill you.
Pretty much.
That's brilliant.
Looking for your next move in mining and construction? Your success, our service. Silverstone. The Rush Hour Suburban Search for Silverstone.
One more sleep, Embers, until somebody in Perth wins $2,000. All they need to do is find a silver something somewhere in Perth, and we know they're keeping an eye out for a silver netball tomorrow.
That's right, Katie. The silver netball. Well, that could be tucked away in your suburb. Could even be in your backyard. But if you are the first to find the silver netball, then you will win $2,000.
So tomorrow after 4:30, if you find the silver netball, you'll win the cash. And we know it is 19.2 kilometres from Perth CBD.
And we know it's south of the Perth CBD.
We know it's near a lake.
And today's clue is it is near the Kwinana Freeway.
Oh, okay.
So a lake, south of Perth, 19 k's away, near the Kwinana Freeway. I think people will be there now waiting.
I mean, you may as well. It's a sleepout. Camp out.
Yeah.
Camp out. So,
and if it's at a park, there might be a few people probably maybe about to play basketball and...
Yeah, just calm down. So, because just calm down. So we, you are looking out for a silver netball.
Oh, so far buried in that
okay, a silver netball tomorrow.
Just stop now.
Compile all of those clues. Tomorrow we'll give you the final clue, which will you'll probably know why we're laughing now.
Well, yes. Has to give it away. Absolutely has to give it away. Like, to be honest, I feel like that's given it away already.
Oh, mate.
I was given away on Monday, I feel like. But anyway.
Front Bar last night.
Oh, my God, I watched it.
One
only because Cuzzy was on it.
Own was on there, Ben Cousins. Absolutely outstanding. Great to see the big fella back on his feet. If you missed it, this was one of the grabs that we took away from it.
How are you travelling?
Oh, you know, really well, actually. Yeah. I wish it hadn't had to have taken this long and it had to run its course the way it did. But, it's nice to be working and busy, have some real ambition back and, just connected back in with friends, family, and even on a community level, you know. It's, life's never been better, to be honest.
Well, that's good.
Well said.
Literally, Teens and I gave him a round of applause just from our couch. He looks so good. He really speaks well. He did really, really well last night. And it's just great to see him back, you know, on TV and in the media. And I just feel like people are back on his side, you know.
And certainly one person back on his side, of course, is Katie Lowndes. I mean, I know his mum loves Ben and I know his dad loves Ben. And I know a lot of people in Western Australia love Ben. But I don't think
Ben,
I don't think that anyone loves her. Him more than our mate Katie Lamb. Have a listen to Katie Lamb on her Instagram that she posted last night.
I wasn't sure how just being on your feet for 8 hours a day is sometimes a job, but let alone dancing. So
I'll massage your feet.
Wow. You'll massage his feet. You are sick.
I know. I actually hate feet.
Do you have a food fetish?
But for Ben Cousins, like, everything's a fetish.
You've got a fetish for Ben Cousins indeed, if you don't remember Telethon.
Donated virtually.
Katie sang so in front of Ben Cousins at Telethon.
Only because Rick Arden made me, and I still have never forgiven Rick.
I know, I can't believe
it.
Rick did not allow you to sit next to Ben on that particular day. He's like, Rick, stop talking to me. I want to speak to Ben. Thanks.
Just everyone go away and let me and Cuzzy chat.
All right,
lots of talk just quickly about the Hall of Fame for Ben Cousins, whether he will be inducted this year or next. One thing's for sure, it's only a matter of time before Ben Cousins is inducted into the Hall of Fame. But more importantly, great to see the big fella back on his feet doing great things. And, of course, dancing with the stars not too far away.
Mm. Modern Motor Trimmers, Australia's leading supplier and installer of Isri Seats. Who better to get your tips from than a guy who does this?
Andrew Embley! Ripping goal!
To Embley, and that could be the game-winning goal!
Rush Hour presents Ember's Footy Tips.
There's only one game to talk about this week, and of course it is the Western Derby. It's on Saturday night. Game starts at 6:10, but of course you can hear everything here on Triple M live from 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Leachy.
Yep.
We will all be there. I think Don Pike's going to come along and have a chat.
Working on that.
You're in the car and you're driving to the game, make sure you tune in. We're going to have plenty of fun. Now the teams are in. And some big changes. So some good ins for both sides. Sean Darcy is back for the Fremantle Dockers. That's really good news. He'll line up probably a little bit inside forward 50, I think. Obviously coming back from injury, you don't want to throw him in the deep end just yet. Luke Jackson's going very well on ball. So he'll get a chance to ruck at certain stages. But good to see Sean Darcy back into the team. Sam Sturt, he's back for his first game this year. He's a goal kicker, so that's going to be important too. Sam Switzkowski's injured. Matt Tabernay, interesting, is out. It's saying managed, but I'm not really quite sure that you want to be managed for a derby.
It just means he's got a manager.
Maybe that. Dom Sheed. Dom is good. Dom is good to go. He played Waffle last week. He's back for the West Coast
Eagles.
He
smashed out Waffle, didn't he, last week?
Yes. Yeah. He was very good. So that's a big in for the Eagles because we know how good the midfield group of Fremantle are. So really looking forward to this game. I think this is going to be a lot closer than people think. Right now, West Coast are $5.40. $5.75 outsiders in this particular game. That is well and truly over the odds. Now, last week, I declared that the West Coast Eagles would win.
No, hang on.
I'm not declaring that the Eagles will win.
All right, okay.
But Yeah. I've got a feeling that this is going to be one of the best derbies that we have seen for a long, long time. 60,000 people, and West Coast will give Fremantle a real run for their money.
To be honest, we just want a good game, don't we? Yeah. Like, I agree. I don't think West Coast will get up. However, I reckon they could get close, and that's all we can ask for.
The midfield battle will be absolutely crucial. The Harley Reid, Elliot,
I want Eagles
Tim
to win.
Kelly up against Sarong and Brayshaw and Luke Jackson and Nat Fyfe. So that's going to be really interesting. West Coast have got a really solid back line at the moment with Barris and McGovern, and we know Fremantle aren't scoring, so they're going to find it hard to score. But we also know how good Fremantle's defence is as well. So this is going to be a beauty.
We also, it would be great. We had Harley Reid on the show earlier in the week.
Love Harley.
How great if he was to win the best on ground, the Glendinning Allen Medal.
Oh my God, I know.
That would be cool. Now, here's a bit of breaking news. The WA Football Commission wishes to advise the judges for the 2024 Glendinning Allen Medal. Mitch Woodcock from the West Australian.
Cocky, yep.
David Mundy from 6PR.
Yep.
On you, Dave.
Andrew Embley from Triple M. Sorry, what?
What?
Sorry, what?
Andrew Embley. Am I voting on the medal? I'm going to the Quokka before. I'll probably keep myself a little bit sober, you reckon.
Right. Like 3 points to the Eagles.
And this on ground goes to...
I give it to Sam Switkowski. He's not playing. I'm still giving it to Sam.
I give it to Andrew M.
Nah, it should be beauty.
It's time to find Perth's smartest suburb. How good is Perth? North versus South. Battle of the Burbs.
Northies have a lot of work to do. South lead 28-20. This could be the biggest lead we've ever had in Battle of the Burbs history.
South are just downhill skiing at the moment. They're just cruising.
Cruising for a bruiser.
North have got cement boots on and they're going up hills and they just don't want to be a part of this.
Well, Rochelle is from Ellenbrook. She's representing the North today. Hey, Rochelle.
Good afternoon.
Besides Rochelle, she wants to be a part of this and she wants to win. Don't you, Rochelle?
I certainly do. Give me that hunji.
Give me that hunji.
Yeah,
you know what?
I love it. Should we just give it to her now?
Well, may as well because she's sounding confident, but she needs to take on Chelsea from Success. And they've had a lot of success in the South. Hello, Chelsea.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Chelsea. You smart. Sound really smart.
You smart.
A lot smarter than me.
It's not hard. Chelsea.
Would you like $100 too?
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, yeah, we'd all love it.
You're going to have to work for it, you two. Rochelle, your buzzer is North. Chelsea, your buzzer is South. First of two is the winner. Puts a point on the board for their side of the river. Question one.
Which former Fremantle Docker, made famous for his tagging role, joins us in the studio coming up next?
I mean, we've been hyping it up all day.
It's a bit of a pest. It was named a bit of a pest back in the day.
Come on.
Three, two, one.
He's standing outside right now and looking glum.
He's very offended, but that's okay.
Sorry, that's Ryan Crowley. That's his name.
Oh, sorry, Crowley.
Crowley. He's very upset.
He says he doesn't forgive you. Okay.
Sorry, I'm Eagles.
Fair enough. All right, question number two. Noel and Liam Gallagher are two siblings from which...
North.
North?
North. It is Oasis.
Oasis. Oh, North from...
Hang on.
Whoa.
Whoa, your horses.
Okay.
North are up one. Chelsea, you need this to stay in the game. Question three. Why is there a national public holiday on Thursday next
South.
Week?
South?
North.
To stay in the game. South.
South. Anzac Day.
Wow.
We will not give up.
Okay.
Lest we forget.
Oh,
okay. Come on.
All right. Good. Chelsea, be Rochelle, quick. Here we go. This all is right. The tiebreaker. Name a premiership-winning West Coast player from 2008. North for the win.
I will say 2018.
South
Crowley. No.
You're
damn
out.
It.
Okay. You're all out, Michelle. Right. Chelsea for the win.
Do you want to hear...
Thompson.
Yeah.
What was it?
Say it again.
Sorry,
what was it? What did you say?
Dom Sheep.
Dom Sheep.
Dom
Sheep.
Rochelle.
I mean, Chelsea's done a Dom show.
Oh, well, well done,
on your mind, Rochelle.
I don't know why. I'm not even a Docker supporter.
I love Rochelle, just says Ryan Crowley.
Oh, there you go.
Unlucky, Rochelle, but that means Chelsea from Success had some success again for the South. Scored yourself $100.
Yay.
This week, Katie, we have delved into a bit of football history in the lead up to the Western Derby.
Pandora's box, you know what I mean? We wanted to do a segment a day leading up to the Derby called Embers Remembers, where he was just going to tell us a bunch of different stories. But Tuesday took us to a bit of a halt because we heard something that we thought, is that the whole truth?
Yeah. Well, here, if you missed it, this is what happened with Ember's story.
Embers Remembers.
The AFL during the year had decided to send two clubs to London to play in an exhibition game. This is 2005.
Oh,
now,
yes,
the AFL, that was the first mistake, sending West Coast and Fremantle play an exhibition game. So the game itself, right, was just spitfires going on everywhere.
So basically Dockers just came out and just
They were throwing a few. Now, West Coast have played some younger players. Fremantle have targeted some of our younger kids. Woosh is fuming and he's reeling off a few names and I remember that he said Ryan Crowley and straight away I've gone, perfect. He's mine. I want him. There's the Fremantle team bus, right? And then Anthony Grover grabbed him. He goes, Embers. He goes, what the hell are you doing? And I said, mate, I'm after Crowley. Where is he? He goes, mate, have a look. There's 45 of us, right? Coaches and staff, and there's one of you. And I look around and I'm the only person by myself.
In your head, you had a whole crew.
And I'm thinking, Crowley, get off the bus. I want you now. And anyway, so I started yelling at him. Couldn't get him. For the next 5 or 6 years, like the tensions between the two clubs in derbies was really intense.
So best story you've ever said, Embers. And you do
he
love to
the
put
story, Embers.
But you love to put a bit of mayo
well,
on
this
all of your
happened
stories.
Almost 20 years ago. And I must admit, football trip, my vision might have been a little bit blurred.
How many little beers were you deep when
4,500 off them when I reckon tried to get on the team bus
well,
at Fremantle.
We thought it's only fair that we hear the other version of events from the person in question.
We've heard Embers remember all week, but now we're filling in the blanks. Gary Ablett Jr. said this about it.
He was the most challenging guy to play against, Ryan Crowley.
Look at Crowley wearing Ablett like a second skin. And just remind me what Gary said about Embers. Triple M's Rush Hour proudly presents All-Star of the Fremantle Dockers, Ryan Crowley.
Welcome to the show.
Yay.
Welcome, Crowley.
Great to be here, guys. Yes. Great to be here.
Do I need to sit in the middle of you two, by the way? You guys okay now? Or?
Well, we actually get on really well now. So, back in the early 2000s, I don't think we had much time for each other.
If someone fast-forwarded me to this point and said that we were mates, I would have thought the world was ending. But, we are actually good friends.
So you kind of heard what Embers had said, and that was a very short version of it. But you did say yesterday that there were a few holes in his story or maybe he wasn't telling the full truth. So from your perspective, what happened? Take us back.
So, of course, you played in the game, didn't you? I didn't play in the game. I watched it. You played.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there's a lot of untruths. I just think there was a few things maybe left out that I wouldn't mind adding. Yeah, exactly like Ember said, though. I found it quite bizarre, even as a young guy back then, that they were playing a Western Derby over in London with no cameras, no AFL officials, no repercussions. It felt like a red rag at a bull to me, to be honest. It was a crazy game playing at one of those famous cricket grounds at the Oval.
The Oval, yes.
Yeah. The game was first time they hadn't televised that game, which once again was a bit of an error. Error by the AFL. But we weren't really taking the game too seriously. We'd gone out the night before and I remember a few of the boys had got home when the light was up and hiding behind pillars as the coaches were walking around just trying to get on the team bus. But then a few of the guys, even the players that weren't playing, had put beer in the drink bottles. So they were running around and giving us beer.
What?
So it was
so not Powerade. We're talking like a few Fosters in a...
Fosters. The only time you drink Fosters
like
in
country
London.
Football at its absolute best.
And it started a bit that way and we had some funny goal celebrations in the first quarter and it was all going quite nicely. And then halfway through the second quarter, I think it was Paul Hazelby tried to kick me the ball, and he missed me by a fair mile. He's probably because he was drunk. And the ball went over my head, and I was running back to the flight, as I do.
Yeah,
sure. As quickly as I could. I just missed it, and one of your young players was running the other way, and I just with the momentum.
Accidentally whacked him with your fist.
Yeah, no, it was the edge of my shoulder, right up and straight up and down, and he wasn't in a good way, I could tell straight away. And one of your other young players had scooped the ball up, and I tackled him, and he's because of the hard ground on the cricket ground, his head hit the ground. And I remember looking up and the whole field just running towards me. And
so you started picking on the young kids at West Coast.
I was 21 too. You really got to remember.
Ryan was a young kid too.
I was a young kid too. Yeah, which is one of those holes in your story, I would have thought. But,
all the old veterans are playing the youngies.
I'm old now. I was 21. Yeah, exactly. And, and everyone was just running towards, and it was on. It was on. It took 10 or 15 minutes for the officials to break everybody up. It was a lot scarier than being on AFL fields. It's tough as you want, but no one's gonna whack
you. But in a game like that with no cameras and everyone pretty much pissed.
Yeah, and a heightened sense just because it's the derby, you know. And it was on, and finally they come out and said, you got a minute basically to break this up, otherwise we're calling the game off. As it got broken up, I think the guy's name was Ashley Thornton. He didn't play too many guys.
Yeah, Ashley Thornton.
He ran past me and he gave me one right as we'd broken it all up. So I thought I'd give him a little jumper punch back, and I grabbed his jumper, but his jumper was ripped down to about his belly button, so I got a fair way away before I gave him one.
He had a belly button ring on?
Yeah, probably, being a West Coast player. And then, down he went, and it was on again. And John Worsfold at the time actually left the West Coast Eagles coach's box, went down to the Freo coach's box, kicked the door in and basically demanded they take me off the field.
Now, my understanding is that John Worsfold, who I know was fuming about this particular game, he certainly wanted to get you. I think really wished he was playing. And he might have had a word to Daniel Chick, and we know how strong Chick he is, to maybe go out and play on Ryan Crowley in the second half, Krause.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. So after Wisher had gone into our coach's box and they'd basically told him to go away in a bit less friendly manner. He wasn't too happy, and they'd actually pulled Chicky out of the game at half time, but Wisher told him to go put his boots back on and come and get a bit of retribution.
Just play on Crowley.
If you missed Krause. It, the Dockers came out, went whack to all the young Eagles boys. Yeah. But
and
Ryan's only 21,
and,
mind you.
Well, hang on. We did play a lot of our young kids, and I know Krause was 21, but they did also have a few older kids. Chicky was really the only senior player playing in that game. So you're right. He was only playing the first half. Wush said, mate, listen, I think we're going to get you to play in the second half. Okay. Let's see if you can do the tag in on Krause.
Well, we didn't play much footy after that, I've got to be honest. Chicky come out to me, and he was honest. He said, I didn't see what happened, to be honest, Krause. He said, but Wush told me we were going to come and get you. And I said,
oh, my God. Oh, that's so scary.
I said, all right, let's go. So me and him basically just fought for the rest of the game. I actually don't remember seeing the football at all.
In the forward pocket and just blew for the crowd behind was just fantastic. They were just going, this is the best game of football I've ever seen in my life.
It was. It was absolutely insane. It ended up being a close game, which was it made it even crazier. And then Jeff Farm ended up kicking the winning goal right towards the end of the game. He kicked a check side from the boundary line. Actually jumped over the fence, sat down and started clapping himself.
Oh, what a king.
Yeah. So arrogant. I love it.
The wizard. You got to love the wizard.
Wasn't he?
Oh, he was unbelievable.
So good.
And then the siren went and we went off like we'd won the grand final. It was because it was just...
Well, considering you guys haven't won much in your life, it was... Oh, I can understand why you were very happy.
If we wanted to stay friendly and visual, stop that. But the AFL officials that were there were obviously... understanding that they've got to get us separated straight away. So they've run out, the crowd's all come out, but they have got us off the ground as quickly as possible.
Yep.
And we went into the change rooms and once again started drinking Fosters, and which is the only time you ever drink Fosters, and started telling stories like you do when you've been in a fight, Embers. That's all you want to do. So, but then the funniest part about this whole story was we were going to an after-match function with you guys after the match.
Yep.
I was one of the last to leave the change rooms, and I sort of walked out to where I thought the bus was down into the car park, and there was a handful of West Coast players waiting for me in the car park after the game.
And was Andrew Embley one of them?
And Andrew Embley was one of them, which is a part that he did leave out the other day.
Wow. Yeah.
So who else was there? Was Embers? Who else were...
Well, Juddy was there. That's laughable. I mean, come on, Juddy. He's a good footy player, but I reckon I've got
him covered. Juddy, I said, come on, Juddy, come along. I said, come on, cuz, come along. I tried to also grab a couple of my dodgy mates that were were living over in London as well with lots of tattoos and they rode motorbikes. So I think they were sort of waiting around as well.
Yeah, I mean, you already had 4-1, but why wouldn't you want more? And then, this is where the story differs a little bit. Luckily for me, Anthony Grover was the last guy to leave the change rooms and he came out behind me and no one wants to fight Groves.
Nah, Groves, yeah. For those people that don't know, Anthony Grover can go. Like he would probably be the best boxer along with Desi Headland at Fremantle at the time. They can blue.
And he's 6'5", 6'6",
and doesn't mind throwing them as well.
Right.
Yeah, he grew up in Bulga. So,
So Embers recalls it all as though he was like, you know, big-chested. Yeah. But when
I tried to get onto the bus, it was Groves who actually grabbed me and goes, Embers, and thank goodness I know Groves, because if I hadn't known Groves, then suddenly I would have been on a punch up with Groves and I would have come off second best.
Yeah.
So he sort of gave me the warning. He said, mate, you are kidding yourself right now. He goes, get off.
Just a crazy time. And I just remember the commotion on the bus, especially when Embers tried to get on there. And obviously you're a young player and I didn't want to take it back. Like a backward step. So I was trying to get up and people pulled me down.
He's trying to get off the bus coming. I'm trying to get on the bus.
Yeah, absolutely insane. So we've gone to this aftermatch function and we've stood on one wall on one side of the room. Eagles have stood on the other wall, the other side of the room. And all these dignitaries in the middle just standing there cutting the tension with a knife in between us. The only time I was scared that day was in that function and Woosha was just staring at me everywhere I went. And I'd had a directive from the club as they do not start anything here, just leave it alone. But I wasn't starting it with Woosha, I promise you that. He was just staring at me and he changed and it was a bit scary to be honest. I seen what he was like when he was on the field and he obviously from that moment on to post London didn't really talk to me. I'd see him out, say hello, and he'd sort of blank me and go the other way and didn't talk to him for, basically 10 years. And then I was just retired and then all the Essendon supplement saga stuff happened. And then I got a phone call and my iPhone said, maybe John Worsfold. And I picked up, I was like, hello. And he didn't even say hello. He just said, do we need to get London out of the way? And I started laughing. I said, John, that happened 12 years ago, mate. You probably got to let it go. And he started laughing and then he said, you want to come play at Essendon for me? And and then off I went. So
this is history.
Crazy story. And it's such a good story because nobody knows it happened.
Of course, it was televised.
Yes. It was overseas.
But it sounds like the one game I wish that was televised. Yeah.
One game. And, you know, as Ryan said, like for 10 years after that, there was some real big challenges between both West Coast and Fremantle and their relationships.
Yeah, it was almost an accidental line in the sand. And I remember people talking about that after. I think we won, something ridiculous, like 9 of the next 11 or something like that. And West Coast were a great team through that period. I mean, we weren't bad either. But
well, the year that we won the grand final, Fremantle won both derbies.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yes. Wow.
Yeah, and we've spoken about this before. I know you disagree, but I genuinely think that Sydney beating you at home by a point put us on the other side of the draw to you. And I think then we would have had a derby prelim.
That's exactly right.
And we felt like we had your measure at the time.
And thank goodness we didn't have a derby prelim because, you know, Fremantle did have the wood over us. But in saying that, Fremantle also played in their preliminary final in 2006 and unfortunately couldn't get the job done. So we're never going to know.
So, Ryan,
we gave you a chance.
Did you and Embers ever play on each other after that incident in London?
To go with me, but
thanks for bringing that up.
That's okay. Here to help.
Well, we actually, we played on each other twice post London. And London, pre-London, I would always usually go to Juddy. It was Juddy and only Juddy, and he was unbelievable through that period, probably as good as anybody I've ever played.
The best footy he played was through 05-06 West Coast.
He almost unplayable. He was so good. I remember I was on him one day and he was pre-game paying $1.85 to win the Ross Glendening, knowing that I'm going to tag him.
Oh, my God, I don't want to play today. I think I'm feeling
that makes you feel good. Yeah. He didn't win it either,
by the way.
And still
won it.
he was phenomenal through that small period. And then, when he took off and went over to Carlton, the next two times lined up on the big fella next to me here.
Tried to.
And Evans, unbelievable player. And some of his strengths are my biggest attributes as well. He's got the height for a midfielder. He's got the strength. sort of. And but he's a great runner as well, and that was sort of my strength, which so it did play into my hands a little bit. And I didn't have a bad record on you, Andrew. So I don't think he had more than 12 on me, to be honest.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, how but, hard is it, on a serious note, though, how hard is it to run around and stop someone from getting the ball? I mean, like, come on. I mean, I might have had 12. I think I kicked 4.
I am being a bit facetious. Yeah, he was a nightmare matchup to play on. But,
who was the toughest your opponent that you played on?
I say this every time. It's definitely Gary. Just because Gary Ablett. Sorry, from the first moment I played on him until year 15 when I retired and he was still going. He was that hard, the whole way through, and probably the hardest. Juddy had that bright spot where he was phenomenal,
explosive, strong.
But I felt like it was a bit more fleeting, where he was right at his peak, whereas Ablett was the whole way through.
If you're playing for Fremantle this week, which West Coast player would you go to?
Personally, I don't know if the coaches would do this. I'd go to Reed. And I'd make it a really tough day for him. And knowing it's his young player, everybody in the crowd's got his number on their back, and I'd try and make it a really tough day for him because if you can cut the head of the snake off, obviously. Yeah.
Welcome to AFL footy, young fella.
Yeah, which I don't think happens enough these days. I don't think it's supposed to be fun. Yeah. I'd try and make it a tough day for him. Yeah.
Now, obviously, something massive has happened on Saturday, and it's not just the RAC Derby. Of course, the Quokka. Now, you're at Perth Racing at the moment. This is going to be a wonderful event Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, the Kia Quokka. I've got to get the sponsor in, mate. I've just got them on board. So, yeah, exactly. So it's going to be a huge... huge day. Obviously, the second running, the inaugural one last year, which was obviously a massive success. $5 million.
I mean, it's so good. So last year was $4 million. This year, another million's been added onto that. So good for WA racing.
More than any race in Britain, any race in America. And we've got this here in WA, and we've got a chance to see it. And these slot races where, people can buy a slot in the race and then they fill it with their own horse. They're a new concept in racing, but they're taking the racing world by storm. And obviously, the Everest is the one that everybody knows, but this is our version of the Everest. Yes. And you've got a chance to come down and see some of the best sprinters in Australia on Saturday and then go straight to the Derby afterwards.
Well, awesome. It is going to be a huge weekend and a huge Saturday. As we said, Kia Quokka happening during the afternoon and the RAC Derby at night. And Ryan Crowley is going to be all over it, as too is Andrew Hembler at the field, because when he rocks up to our OB in the afternoon, I feel like he's going to be...
Had a few small beers?
I'm working on Saturday night, so I'll be at the Quokka. I will certainly be there, but I will be alcohol-free on Saturday afternoon.
Ryan Crowley, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rush Hour. Thank you for telling us about this incredible story that happened back in 2005 in the UK, and turns out that you were right, Ryan Crowley, and Andrew Embley was sort of wrong.
Again.
No surprises. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Embers and Katie.
Got the touch? Download Tab Touch. Chances are you're about to lose.